In the early days of the settlement of the Solaris sector, the anti-entropists were far less antisocial than they are now. They were still rather private people, but they were willing and often even eager to share their resources with the other factions to help them get settled. The anti-entropists themselves had no interest in an empire or even holding planets, preferring their quiet space colonies and stations. But to the young Meridian and Valk, the AE's assistance was key in establishing the footholds they now have. While the Meridian shamelessly took advantage of their assistance by asking control of planet after planet, the Valk's interests were different. Their conclusion was that territory is only as valuable as one's means to hold it, and so they asked for military might. The anti-entropists refused at first, simply because the request was impossible. They weren't equipped for mass production of warships. What they were equipped for was reality mining, using incredible technology to reach through a black hole and pluck objects from other dimensions into our own. It was costly, difficult, obviously dangerous, and hard to control what one received from the other dimension. But objects they obtained defied the laws of our reality. Further stories of reality mining are best saved for another time. Widely, the anti-entropists remain the sole beneficiaries of its rewards, with the very rare exception of an item here or there that they sell off at staggering prices to keep their operations running. To the young Valk Imperium, they gifted 6 such items. All 6 items were the same. Power generators, built around some sort of material that shouldn't exist in our reality. The exact properties of the reactors aren't a matter of public record. All that is widely known is that they power the Viridian Magisters, a set of 6 mecha superweapons whose power borders on the miraculous. The feats of their pilots, known as the Magi, are a legend. Where were you the day Devon Tell caught a comet in his hand and threw it back? Were you watching on TV when Sasha Dagon flew through the interstellar Meridian Armada and came out the other side unscarred? They are mythic in quality, except that all were documented and recorded for any to see for themselves. There are almost no reports of people seeing the pilots after they are chosen, and there's a good reason for that. Though it is a state secret, the Magisters have no cockpit. Instead, the Magi are surgically reduced to nothing more than a brain and a spine and implanted into their Magister. The only way they leave is if they die. Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to Scanline Tabletop. We are once again in the world of Starsung Distance. I'm Six Detmar, but I am not joined this time by Jennifer Hunkel. Hunkel. Let's say hello first to who will be a regular co-host, I believe, on this side of the game, Kyrie Page.
Hello.
And joining us this time, hopefully not for the last time, but certainly not going to be every time. Hey, Lee, how's it going?
Hey, hello.
Lee is, so folks may or may not know, I don't know how much I've said on air, but Starsung Distance is based on an old game I ran like 6 years ago, 5 years ago, something like that.
Something like that. Time is a flat circle.
And that original game, Lee is one of the 3 players from that original game.
Veteran player, what?
So, given what we're about to do, the game we're about to play, it seemed really fitting to have us start out with one of those OG players. I mean, I was the GM back then, so I guess I'm sort of an OG player, but like it doesn't count. Have one of them in the room while we play our faction game. This is going to be a game taking place in parallel to, not exactly synced up, like I'm sure there'll be like one session of this isn't going to chronologically take the same amount of time as one session of ground game. That doesn't make any sense. But we are basically playing a game where we play as the factions of Starsung Distance, and we are making moves, and events will occur, and we will shape the galaxy, and those actions will
directly or indirectly shape the fate of our ground game players, of which Kyrie is one, so you're in an interesting position.
Yeah.
Which is why we are each going to be playing a faction. I'll be playing two factions, just for the sake of simplicity, because both of them are factions that are going to be a little weird for anyone else to control. And Kyrie, you'll be playing as the Valkenpurium.
That's right.
So you are encouraged to make good moves on behalf of the faction that in your spare time you want to destroy.
Oh, hell yeah. I won't totally goof it up for them.
It's going to be very much, can I make an Indigo Prophecy reference? Like when you, beginning of Indigo Prophecy, where you try and cover up the crime scene and then you play the cop trying to figure out the crime scene.
Yeah, sure. I guess we can say that.
And then also there are bugs and the Matrix happens.
God, what a...
I guess that part.
What a fucking weird game.
Simon Says, fly and do Kung Fu.
Kung Fu fight a helicopter.
Now, Lee, since you're not going to be here every week, it's like, what faction could you play? And both because of a personal association with the Meridian Republic of Republics, the faction that you were a part of during that original game, and also because the concept of the Meridian is that their interests are constantly changing, different people are constantly coming into power, and they're always sort of undoing their own progress, it works great for you to play the Meridian, because next time we do an episode of this, someone else will be the Meridian, and that's also just how the Meridian works.
I am indecisive and constantly contradictory, so that makes sense.
I can't say no one will ever play the Meridian twice, because I don't know how many episodes there will be, and I only have so many friends who are willing to put up with my bullshit, but I'm going to try and make sure we don't do the same person twice in a row, at least. And then I will be playing, as I say, two factions. I am playing first the Glass Spectre, which is the player faction this time, which is, again, part of why I'm playing them, is because it would be a conflict of interests for Kyrie. It'd be a little too easy for you to try and make, you know, it'd be hard to fight the urge to make your own life easier, which is not why we're here.
Exactly.
And then I'm also playing the Anti-Entropists, which I kind of have to play because they're very weird and part of the ground game could, I'm not saying it will, because it's an open world, right? You folks will decide through your play what we end up exploring, but it is possible that part of what we explore is what the hell is going on with the Anti-Entropists, and therefore I want to hold my cards a little closer to the chest on them. To start out, though, we are playing Microscope, which is a very cool game. We are going to be playing a slightly, Microscope is a fractal role-playing game of epic histories by Ben Robbins. We are, as basically every time I play any tabletop game, we're not going to be playing entirely to the letter of the law.
More like the spirit of it.
Yeah, and that's partially because the way Microscope is supposed to work is one of the first things you do is you set up where the game starts and where it ends. And I don't know how this ends. For us to establish that now would be to, like, doom our players, our ground game players, to a specific fate in a way that I don't think is fair.
We're more or less, we're filling in the gaps. Like, this is, like, designed to fill in the gaps that, you know, is beyond the players of the ground game.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot more interesting. Like, I'm not going to make any bones about it. I'm heavily inspired by Friends at the Table. And one of the things that I have always found really cool was in the Counterweight campaign they did, they also had a faction game. And there was a lot of times where you would hear something happen in a faction game, and it wouldn't be relevant for a while. And then in the ground game, like, something would happen. And if you hadn't listened to the faction game, you'd be like, okay, that's weird. But it also represents how, in our real world, sometimes the machinations of groups are so large that as a person you can't see them, but from a bird's eye perspective it all makes sense. So that's kind of what we're going for, is stuff's going to happen, and if you are just listening to the ground game, which is valid, if you want to do that, that's fine. There will be some, I suspect, pretty large plot twists. But if you listen to the faction game, you'll be like, oh, I see. That's because Kyrie decided that the Valk should kill all birds or whatever.
That's a decision I can make?
It wouldn't be very in character for the Valk, but sure, they're powerful. They could probably try and do that.
Change all the batteries in the birds. Wake up. Wake up, sheeple.
Anyone who houses an owl will be brought to the court.
So to start with, this is fun, because the way Microscope works is, there's a bunch of very basic, like, ground setting, table setting stuff that is sort of built, done for us, because we already know our setting, and we already know the themes, and we already know why things are basically how they are. But to start with, we need a very basic summary. What is this period of, how would you summarize the period of time that we're in? And is it a light or dark period of time? This is a very big decision.
I would say this is kind of a dark period of time.
Well, let's figure out what's like how we describe it, and then we can figure out light or dark from there. Because also light or dark can kind of be a matter of perspective. It kind of depends on how things turn out, which we don't necessarily know. We will decide that now. For sure, but I don't know, like, what... So, the position we're in is the Meridian and the Valk are at war. I just realized, for the first time ever, I just realized it's Meridian and Viridian. I'm terrible. I suck at this. God. The Meridian and the Valk are at war. The planet of Araya, the Glass Spectre, is sort of waging a quiet war to try and get themselves out from underneath the thumb of the Valk. There are other very minor factions that we might come up with as we go, but they are not generally very relevant to us. And then all in the background, the anti-entropists are doing their dark science. So, like, how do we describe this period of time?
Well, from what I gathered, like, the Meridian and the Valk have been at a sort of stalemate for quite a while, haven't they?
Yeah, it's a situation where the Valk is just straight up more competent. But the Meridian has a lot more people, and so they kind of have enough resources to be inefficient. And I think overall the Valk is winning the war, but not in any kind of decisive way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I'm imagining the Valk are able to, they're the ones winning the battles, but they're not exactly winning the war. Like, mm-hmm. on an individual front, they are quote-unquote winning, but it's usually at a great cost, or they are working really hard to, like, they spend a lot of resources on a battle that, like, in the long run just turns out to be insignificant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course there are battles they've lost. In fact, we recently highlighted apparently the Battle of Rosankt. It's the third Battle of Rosankt, I think is what we said, ended in the Valk's defeat. How the first and second went, I don't know, haven't decided, but the Meridian currently controls that airspace due to a recent battle, so it's not completely one-sided. Mm-hmm. I guess part of a way to think about this is we can't necessarily decide who wins the war right now. I don't think that's appropriate. But I think we can decide what impact the war has overall on the galaxy. Or the sector, more appropriately. The rest of the galaxy is not populated, so it doesn't really matter what the stars think.
Hmm.
Like, what is the main takeaway that people are going to have from this? If you look back at this period in history books, I mean, obviously part of it is going to be like, well, and obviously so-and-so won. But what was sort of the lesson of this time? What was the core takeaway? Was it like, you know, conflict on this scale is unsustainable? Is it conflict on this scale is perpetual? Is it something about how, I don't know, like, these kinds of large factions don't work anymore? What's the takeaway?
I think it's one of those things where it's like power tends to beget conflict and violence, and mm-hmm. all this power is starting to like coalesce in either the Meridian Republic or Republics or the Valk Imperium, and they are both simultaneously too large to like sustain themselves, but also like too large to just fall apart completely. You know what I mean?
Hmm. That was, I had a similar thought for Meridian, at least, because, you know, they're looking things at big picture. So because of that kind of bureaucratic mindset, they don't really have much interest looking at the individual or like small groups of actual people. They're more interested in the big picture thing. And if a small population planet is to be sacrificed, then it'll be sacrificed if it means it's a better outcome in general.
So I think maybe it's sort of a situation where this the takeaway from this period is like the like big faction interests blot out individual concerns.
Yeah, I would say so. It's like yeah, they are big and powerful, but at the cost of, you know, the individual's interests and this ongoing war.
Yeah, like it's just one of those things of like, you scale back, like any group of any substantial size eventually starts like forgetting the individual.
And it's sort of to the point where everyone is having to compromise so much on so many of their interests to try and make a bigger picture happen that the bigger picture is not making anyone happy.
Yeah, because I would say like the payoff isn't worth it in the individual level, because I imagine the payoff is very gradual, like, oh, they're gonna take this planet, but if we let them take that, in maybe 2 years it's gonna work out to our benefit because we have this playing around behind the scenes on this other side that's unprotected, so we're gonna let that happen and wait for that payoff later.
Okay, all right. So I think then with it we'll decide when this period ends. I assume that will be based on a mix of what we've done here and also what the ground game does. Certainly won't be this episode.
Yeah, it's too big to be contained in one episode. Mm-hmm.
But it is possible that through our actions and also, again, the ground game, these larger factions will break up and it will no longer be the big picture faction interests blotting out individual wishes. But to start with, I would like to go sort of person by person, and everybody gets to pick sort of a major event that their faction is getting up to involving other factions. And this is going to be a consensual thing, right? Like, Kyrie, as the Valkyrie, you couldn't just say, well, my event for this episode is going to be that the Valk utterly destroy the Meridian. Unless Lee thinks that's okay.
Well, goodbye, everybody.
Well, that was short.
But yeah, I would like to do Valk, and then Meridian, then Anti-Entropist, and finally Glass Spectre, as they are the most, and all of this will work together, but whoever leads that faction sort of leads the discussion as to how this scene goes.
Okay.
So, starting off with the Valkyrium, Kyrie, what's the Valkyrium's goals are to protect humanity from their destructive impulses.
Okay. Yeah, like, they're sort of eco-fascists and are like sort of a at any costs sort of group. So I imagine that maybe the first thing the Valk do is that they recently lost territory to the Meridian. And I think they are planning a counterattack. Maybe not, they don't necessarily carry out the counterattack in this episode or whatever, but they are in a planning stages for a counterattack.
Well, I think we're working on enough of a scale, both space and time-wise, that, like, we're going to have a scene of whatever's happening, and whatever's happening should, like, sort of distort space, as it were. I don't know how much space is distorted by the Valk is building war machines. I mean, unless that's really dramatic. If there is something very dramatic about that, if they're building, like, here's a reference no one else here will get, if they're building the Big Zam, that's a dramatic thing. And we could have a scene of it being like, wow, no one's built a war machine like this before, this is fucked up. But whatever it is, one, it should be something we can make a scene about, where, like, us as players will act as different characters in the scene, either part of this event, or discussing this event, or something like that, representing it on the screen, and then also in a way that will cause ripples throughout the galaxy. it can be an internal affair, but it can't be so internal that no one else would know about it.
Okay, so in that case, maybe it is a counterattack in another sector of space that is of equal importance. You know, that while the Meridian were taking over one sector, that the Valk and the Meridian were fighting over, the Valk takes back. Maybe, how about the Valk take back territory from the Meridian?
What kind of territory? So I think that the two properties that, like, in canon, we know about the Meridian having recently taken back from the Valk are, as we mentioned, the gas giant Rosankt, which the players just encountered, and was being scouted out by a Viridian Magister of the Valk. And then, here's a name that hasn't been said on screen, but may possibly, if Lee remembers it, give flashbacks. The planet of Trentellus.
Oh, boy.
Which was an attempted invasion by the Meridian of a recently captured Valk planet that went badly, but a small group, a small squad of, let's say, three pilots. Let's just choose a random number.
Random number has nothing to do with anything that has ever happened.
No, it's completely irrelevant.
Carried out a guerrilla op on the surface of the planet and managed to take it back for the Meridian.
And nothing of interest, and no bad roles were made.
Nobody fell in love with a passing idol singer. Nothing happened.
The mission wasn't botched completely badly.
Of course, we can also, like, we're going to be inventing a lot of new stuff. I just wanted to put on the table what was already there if you wanted to use those. Yes. Of course, you are perfectly free to invent a new space.
No, I'm fine with that. It gives me something to reference, so.
Yeah.
Perfectly cool with that.
So what do you think, Kiri? What was the attack?
I think the attack was on a planet that serves as a significant trade route. Like, this planet is like a small inhabited planet that's mostly used for like refueling and supplies, and the Valk took it back over. Like, it was originally Meridian territory, but due to like a massive counterattack, they were able to take this one planet, which is, I think, like, the tragedy. Like, I'm imagining the tragedy of the Valk Imperium is that they go too hard.
Sure.
And they went hard on this planet. And I think it was one of those things where it was more effort that was necessary, but still in character for the Valk. The take back what is ostensibly they brought out big guns in order to take back a gas station, basically.
Okay. And then so first we'll decide what the scene that we're gonna act out is, like where it takes place exactly, what characters are involved. And then once we've acted it out, we will decide whether the scene was light or dark based on our role-playing. So is this taking place at that planet, or is this someone ordering the invasion, or is this, you know, like the Meridian discussing what happens? Where is the scene?
I think the scene is... like, I'm imagining this scene is happening in a war room somewhere. You know, like, there is a holographic table with representations of various ships and sectors, and you see little moving pieces as it updates in real time, and you see, you know, members of the high members of the Valk Imperium who make the big important decisions, making this decision, congratulating themselves on this quote-unquote victory.
Okay. Well, what characters would people like to play in this scene?
I want to play...
You can use a significant character, or you can, of course, invent a character.
I kind of want to play the character I invented for this scene, Saris Orion.
Okay. That makes sense to me.
So Ceres Orion, pronounced they, them, they are a counselor to the emperor. They are an advisor, and they are mostly worthy of such trust. Now, as we established before, the emperor is more than just one person, if I'm recalling correctly.
Yeah, the emperor is like... It's a very strange thing to describe because it was very much one of those situations where 6 years ago when I thought of it, I hugged myself because I was full of my own shit.
Smelling your own parts.
Yes, extremely. But the emperor is like a it's the emperor is not limited to a physical body or even a single existence. The emperor is like a state of mind that people enter. It is usually a citizen of the Falk. It is usually someone higher up with authority. However, there are exceptions to all of these rules. People from other factions can, on rare occasion, be it. People lower down. The Emperor is just a state of mind that people enter sometimes. And it is consistent. Like, if two people are in Emperor state of mind at the same time, they will acknowledge each other as such, as if they're one person. So there's clearly some weird hive mindy thing going on here. Some weird psychic phenomenon.
Right. And that's what makes Ceres' position so interesting, because no one can really get in touch with the Emperor that frequently, or not consistently, but for some reason Ceres can, but only slightly. If everybody has like a 30% chance of getting the Emperor's attention, Ceres has like a 45% chance. But what results is people will speak with Ceres as if they have a little bit more authority.
Okay, that makes sense to me. Who would you like to play Lee?
Okay.
Again, you can invent a character if you want.
And this will be part of the Valk Imperium, yeah?
Yes, unless you can think of a reason that another member of a faction would be there, but given that it's a war room, that seems a little tricky.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would imagine one of the Viridian Magisters should be a part of this discussion.
So, sure. If you want to do one of the other Viridian Magisters, I can pass you a link of Viridian Magisters.
Oh, sure.
Let me see. It's a link that you already have from 6 years ago, but I'll give you a link again. There you go. The one I have listed already on our document is Atherin Alexander, who is the most senior of the Viridian Magisters and generally the one that's most interested in internal affairs. But there is room for other people to be present here, including a pilot that, at the time of the writing of this document, one of the Viridian Magisters doesn't have a pilot, but we could invent one for him if you wanted.
Hmm. Okay, I think I remember call and response, so...
Yes, you do. I recall you shooting down call and response.
Oh, yeah, that's right. one of my crowning achievements.
Yes, yes. A combination plasma rifle railgun shot from the ground at a Viridian Magister in orbit.
Yep.
It was pretty good.
Artemis, you are pretty great.
So do you want to do Eris then? Eris Hightower?
Yeah, let's do that.
Because of personal history?
Yeah.
Okay, well, in that case, I am going to play a character that ended up not coming up in session one, but I had sort of prepped. I am playing Bravo Turbine, who is a officer of the Azure Sky Wardens, who were basically in charge of the blockade of Aurea, which is the home planet of our players, the Glass Spectre. Bravo Turbine uses they, them.
Okay.
Okay, well, it is your scene. Go ahead and set the stage. Words. Set the stage, Kyrie.
Imagine yourself within a galactic war room. Surrounding this table, this holographic table, are those from the highest officers in the Volk Imperium. They are in good spirits. There is clinking of glasses and general camaraderie because they have, in their minds, dealt a devastating blow to the Meridian Republic of Republics. They have taken over a planet that was home to maybe a couple tens of thousands of people, but it was mostly used as a trade station. And they have completely and utterly taken it over. But there is someone who is not necessarily in good spirits, is Saris Orion. They are slumped in a chair, hand on their chin, thinking.
Saris! Saris, join the party! What are you doing over here?
Thinking, clearly.
I appreciate your mind has been one of the deciding factors in victories like these. And it is because of that that you need to learn how to take time off. This is a time for celebration. We are depriving the Meridian of essential resources. And as I can tell you, I have led the blockade over Araya for 10 years. If you starve them, they have nothing. This is a much bigger step. This party is far too small for what we've achieved today.
All I see is a small planet that... I don't know about this. I apologize. I realize that we should be a little bit more joyful, but... I don't know. Something feels off.
Is it... Tactics are not as much my affairs as, you know, blockades and logistics and such. Do you suspect this was a trap of some sort?
No. No, not necessarily. I just... Never mind. I'll have a drink. Take a glass and just, you know, sip it casually, standing up and... joining the ranks of the others who are in, like I said, in good spirits. They turn to Bravo, actually. It's like, Bravo, how did this operation go from your perspective?
Well, it was a fairly simple affair, to be honest. I was mostly here in advisory capacity, as I have the most expertise when it comes to aerial lockdown and siege, but my expertise was a little unnecessary here. We jumped into the system, simultaneous, multi-directional fleet arrival. Our initial barrage wiped out the Interstellar Meridian Armada's stationed forces in less than an hour. The ground invasion took a little bit longer as we were being delicate in order not to damage the facilities on the planet. But all in all, it was a very clean sweep. There are almost no scraps of them left. It was rather pathetic, honestly.
Did you feel that it was appropriate that... quick sidebar. Would Saris Window... would refer to the Magisters as, like, their call signs, right? Like, call and response?
Call and response is the name of the machine itself.
But Aeris Hightower is the name of the pilot?
Right. Yes.
Okay.
But, you know, you could refer to it as Aeris, or you could say, you know, the presence of call and response, or whatever.
Right. Saris goes, in the presence of call and response, was that necessary?
As it turns out, we did not need Lady Hightower's assistance. But with the movement of the Decurions being so hard to track, an insurance policy is always welcome. It's... The thing is, of course, I mean, I... you know this as better than I do, I'm sure. But just to say it out loud, I mean, we can't just win. We have to have overwhelming victories. The Meridian gets by with its people doubting their power and doubting their abilities because they have such resources. We don't have those resources. We have thoroughness and competence. And every victory we win has to prove a point.
I see.
There isn't room for narrow victories for us, because ultimately that is what is going to lead the Meridian to their destruction. No matter how long this war goes on, they can't win because they are slowly losing the faith of their people. Whereas every time we set foot on a planet, we are an example to the people there as to how people could live. The Emperor has shown us a better way.
The Emperor has shown us a better way. I feel like that's like something that they say, like the Vulcan Imperium, just sort of like they parrot it as like sort of a call and response.
The Emperor has shown us a better way. Slams down shot glass.
Lady Hightower. How are you enjoying the open bar?
Well, since it's open bar, there's no words that could express my happiness. Slams down another shot.
I'm so glad to... actually, I had been meaning to talk to you. I know your services are very much in demand, but there was one of particular interest. I know a general who was looking for magister assistance approached, of course, Lord Alexander, but he was not interested. But they are hoping to retake Trentellis.
I thought we agreed we would never bring this up again.
I don't mean to. I just thought that maybe you would have a personal and... What do you drink? Oh, here, let me... it's an open bar. I can't buy you a drink.
It's only wine and beer. You could get me a cocktail.
Okay. What will you have?
Do they have coconut rum?
I'm sure we have coconut-esque rum. Bartender!
I'll take it. So, before I finish this drink, explain to me why I should be involved in this.
I just thought, you know, listen, I would never tell a magister how they should compose themselves. I just thought it would be a personal interest to you, given
personal interest doesn't interest me. I'm more interested in what this will achieve for the Imperium.
Wait a minute, this is out of character. I just realized remember the thing about the magisters where they don't have bodies?
Yeah, I just realized.
So are you just a hologram that's drinking? Or you're such a realistic hologram that I forgot. And like, you're just playing along and making me look like a dipshit.
I was just going to say, like, oh, maybe it's an android body, but it's a lot funnier if it's like a really realistic hologram.
Yeah, I think at this point, like, you reach for the other drink and like you lift your hand up and like the drink is still there, but now you're also holding it because you just added another hologram.
It's just a power thing. I just like people following the order.
Oh god, I'm so glad we forgot that.
Alright.
Madam Hightower, I thought we told you to stop messing with the lower soldiers.
You are. You have my apologies. I shoot a glance.
I don't. Does Lady Hightower not drink? I apologize. I didn't mean to offend.
Oh, I drink. I think.
And your perspective on this, I've been... I'm of many minds of this particular operation, so I would like to hear the opinion of a magister. How did you feel this operation went?
It could have gone better.
How so?
But
I think Bravo Turbine seems a little taken aback at this.
All right, just like sidebar. I think the thing with her is that like she's just so. I think it's just a great embarrassment kind of thing. So it's just kind of hard to live down. But also trying to keep that composure.
I went ahead and added to Bravo Turbine's description, jovial and clueless.
I like Bravo Turbine quite a bit.
That entire mission just stands as a black mark to the Imperium. The idea that so much was lost in such a short time by three fools of the Meridian, it's hard to make sense of any of that. But at the same time, it does make me curious what happened as far as public perception of the Meridian. Operations like that aren't common, from what I understand.
Well, Lady Hightower, I mean, I'm sure they had a lot of assistance. There were reports of a Decurion in the area. There was involvement from that paramilitary group, the Glass People or whatever. I mean, there were a lot more factors than, I mean, even you. I mean, they put a very effective smokescreen up to make it look like it was just three agents, but really it was a significant investment on the Meridian's part, I'm certain.
Maybe so. Still, what value does that planet have to the Imperium nowadays?
Well, I believe they're currently bartering to sell it to the Anti-Entropists.
I see. Well,
what would the Anti-Entropists want with a planet in that position?
Maybe they want to turn it into another black hole. What do they want with anything? I don't know. I know a lot of their information around them is classified, but sometimes it feels like it's just classified to avoid us having to say out loud that we have no idea what's going on with them. I got one of their teacups that they mined. It's the damnedest thing. Every time I finish a cup of tea, the bits of tea residue, the bits of leaves, arrange themselves in various patterns, and they're not, I don't know what it means, but they are very specific patterns. What is it that they do besides break things?
Random chance, I'm sure, nothing more.
Yes, I suppose they have a good ability to make people superstitious about the ordinary. I apologize for my lack of resolve there.
Well, the Emperor has shown us a better way.
The Emperor has shown us a better way.
The Emperor has shown us a better way.
I feel like that's a good place to call that scene.
All right. And is that a light or a dark scene?
I think it was kind of a mix of both.
Mm-hmm.
Like, light in that it was supposed to be like sort of a lighthearted party for like everyone in the room, except when you had, you know, Saris and Eris. Like,
well, what we're trying to decide is more like light and dark in terms of history, right? Like, I think for the people there, I mean, like, overall Bravo was having a good time.
Bravo, but, like, was enjoying himself just a little too much.
But Bravo isn't history, right? From the perspective of history, was this event a positive or a negative thing?
I guess it would have been more on the positive side, because they seem to be celebrating, and, you know, they seem to have their head on straight as far as where things are going for their faction.
Yeah. Yeah, I could agree with that.
Okay. Works for me. Next up, the Meridian Republic of Republics.
Okay.
Meridian friend, what's good?
So, it's been some time since the aforementioned guerrilla attack conducted by the Meridian.
Mm-hmm.
However, that victory was sort of a double-edged sword. While it was a good tactical victory, and as far as a military sense, the general public, not so much. The Meridians created sort of this sort of reputation of being very bureaucratic, very by the book. So the idea that not only they okayed a guerrilla mission with very, let's say, chaotic-minded folks, that mission wasn't super by the book. A lot of things went wrong.
And also, it was in the wake of, like, the opening of that for folks who weren't there, aka everyone but me. The opening of that was the Meridian launching a full-on invasion and 99% of their forces getting shot out of the sky before they could reach the planet.
Right.
It was a bloodbath.
So, all that combined, just like the messy guerrilla warfare, just that heavy loss for what seemed like a minor victory, it's cost them a lot in their reputation from the entire Republic. So Prime Minister Cross is trying to maintain order, but as is the case with other Republic and Republics, everyone wants to be placated 100 different ways. And we're talking like 100 different republics. So it's a battle of trying to justify how big a victory this was, because let's not deny that victory was pretty significant for them as far as resources and just the grand picture strategy of this war. But the cost of it seems like it may be too great for them to contain.
Okay, so what kind of event are they? Is it like... I mean, it could be a situation where, I mean, like, so I wrote down Prime Minister Catherine Cross. Should we be changing that title? Is this event a new prime minister?
I would say she's still prime minister, I think, unless anyone else has any thoughts.
My thought is that this is a sort of a press conference situation, and Prime Minister Catherine Cross is, like, trying to give statements directly to the Republic of Republics, but is in a clearly tense room.
I guess what I'm trying to, like, I can see this scene. I'm trying to see how it impacts the larger world. Because all of our turn actions should have sort of, as I say, sort of like a ripple effect across the galaxy. Well, something about the world should change.
Well, my thought was, a good amount of the Republic of Republics has sort of neutral-leaning republics, and they're not fully 100% Meridian. They're Meridian enough, like they pledged that allegiance.
Mm-hmm.
But with this whole history and this whole operation, it's kind of making them lean the other way, and it'll be too much of a blow if they were all to be lost.
Okay, so the event is that the Meridian is trying to, like, persuade some of its Republic states to stay on, basically.
Right, to try to maintain their numbers as much as possible.
Okay. Okay, so here's a thought. Here's something that I really want. You can give me a yes or no on this, right? It is your scene. But I would love it if we had Kyrie as Catherine Cross.
Okay.
Lee as Artemis Crescent.
Hell yeah.
And then I will play the representative of the planet Ariadne, which is where Artemis is from, but they're considering seceding. And so it's a situation where Catherine is there as prime minister, but also Artemis is there as a high-ranking official from that planet, and they're trying to change her mind.
Okay, so I'm just trying to think of how to get into character as Catherine Cross.
Do we like that idea before we move forward?
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Okay. Yeah, I like that idea a lot. So... basically, if I'm hearing this correctly, Catherine Cross is trying to make sure that Governor Boy Howdy...
You can just say Governor Howdy, or you can just say Boy.
Governor Boy.
Governor BH.
Governor Boy. stays on board, basically. I guess what is Aridin like?
So Ariadne as a planet is pretty screwed up. Actually, I'll leave it to Lee to explain, because Lee created the planet.
Sure. Trying to remember. If anything's been developed, you let me know.
I mean, my memory is that there were basically it's a planet where the surface is really dangerous. It's covered with storms and like lots of like vicious creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And there are spots that are sort of like elevated and lifted above sort of like the storms and stuff where cities are. But the space in between is very dangerous. And because of that, Ariadne is one of the great sources of military for Meridian, because it is naturally trains like scouts and soldiers, because just getting around on that planet takes a set of skills.
Right. I remember the planet being very hostile, most of it uninhabitable. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they create a lot of scouts and reconnaissance units, and mostly develop their technology for that purpose. So they specialize in like sniping and information and reconnaissance of that sort.
Mm-hmm.
But also the hostility of the planet kind of had an effect on the people, because living so high above ground elevation gives you a thinner atmosphere. So the people started slowly evolving where they rely on concentrated oxygen, because they wouldn't be able to sustain themselves otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. They had the breathers.
Right.
I think this is a situation, like, it would make sense to me if this is a situation, because there were two people from Ariadne here, where actually as like a gesture of like good faith, the atmosphere was treated for them, and Catherine was wearing a ventilator to make air normal for her.
Sure. I mean, yeah. That would make sense, because she's trying to gather their support, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But this is your scene, Lee, so go ahead and set the stage for us.
Okay. So, sorry, we want to do a press conference, or is this like closed room discussion?
I think this is probably closed room, one. I think there was a press conference either before or after this, but like the negotiation is going to happen behind closed doors, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I imagine seeing the Prime Minister and Artemis on one side of a table, and clearly not so much worry, but kind of focused anxiety on their part. And on the other side of the table would be Governor Boy Howdy. And they know what the conversation is going to be about, because there's no way to ignore what happened during that operation of theirs. And yeah, it's just, you could feel the tension in the air as they're about to discuss how to go forward as far as comrades, as part of the Republic.
Is the air to your liking, Governor Howdy?
It's fine. I appreciate the accommodation. I know it is an uncommon gesture for us.
Prime Minister, don't you think you could be spending your time with someone else? I think there are other planets who are going to be better served by your negotiations, because you don't really have much to offer us. Ariadne has been part of the Meridian for years now, and I can't exactly say it's been a give-and-take situation. We give, you take. There hasn't been a lot there. We supply you with some of the best, most elite soldiers that you have, and have gotten essentially nothing in the way of economic support. And certainly there's never been any occasion for needing your military support. You'd have to be a moron
to think invading Ariadne would be worth your time, unless you really like getting electrocuted. So, all due respect, I don't know why we're here right now.
Who's the other person in the room?
Artemis Crescent, that's my character.
Yeah,
Artemis Crescent is like a commander in one of the is from Ariadne, but is also a commander in a high level officer in the Meridian's military. I mean, look at Commander Crescent here. Perfect example. Went on a solo mission. Well, effectively solo, given that she was accompanied by two war criminals, and pulled off an upset victory that saved a disastrously planned invasion, and now is serving as one of your best tacticians. I absolutely salute her service. I just wonder what it is she's serving.
If I could just interject here, Madam Prime Minister.
Of course.
So, Governor Howdy. sorry.
You can just say Governor. I'm used to people laughing at the name.
Of course. No offense intended. Sure. I remember Ariadne's history. Right. We do develop the best soldiers, and it comes from living in a planet as hostile as ours. I know all about that. But I also know we can't keep that up in the long term. I remember the history books stating how little resource we had over time. As much as the planet has provided us, it can't provide us anything. And as much as we may not be 100% in love with the idea, the Meridian does help us survive.
And your survival will be ensured with your continued support with the Meridian Republic.
I will grant you that trade is fairly essential for us. But what we have to trade is our expertise, and there is no one to whom we could not trade that. You recently lost a planet, I'm told, on the edge of the system. One of your resupply points was taken over by the Valkymperium. It seems like they know how to run a government. Why shouldn't I believe that they'll take better care of us?
You've seen what they can do, first and foremost. You see what happens whenever anybody gets out of line. They wouldn't exactly be having a pleasant conversation about anything regarding that. The Valkymperium are ruthless. We, however, are trying to have something resembling a democracy. This is why I want to listen to you, but I want you to know that I want us to reach an agreement. I'm not here to take you by force. I just want your support.
Commander, tell me something. In your time serving, you fought the Valk a number of times. What would you say is the flaw in their approach, besides the fact that they're fascists? I accept that. I am not washing that away, but we all know that, so that's already on the table. What would you say is the flaw in their approach to running things?
From what I'm able to see, they only care about short-term victories. Using overwhelming force just to claim that victory and show how great and effective the Imperium is. But once that smokescreen is gone, they just take up their things and leave.
You're saying they're inefficient?
In a sense. They mostly care about the idea and image of power. And I grant it that if they were to ally themselves with Ariadne, that would do significantly well to their image. But part of me feels that once that image is attained, they're just going to quietly, over time, start forgetting. And Ariadne would just be a resource for everything it's worth, people included. And the planet as we once knew it will be no more.
So you can either You can live with the Republic and thrive, or you can have a quiet death with the Valk.
There's no such thing as thriving on Ariadne. But I do take your point. A group that doesn't know how to use their resources efficiently would make a mess of our home. It's not hard for anyone in the Meridian to shoot down an idea. That's our favorite pastime, is explaining why someone's wrong. But what do we have as our own ideas? You can tell me why the Valk is bad, and I appreciate that. I do. It's useful information. But what plans do you have? What solutions do you have? And you can't tell me that your solution is that you're going to hit them back harder, because that has never worked. And also, even if you promise that, what about the rest of the Parliament? Can I get that from them? You put that to a vote. Even if you win the vote, are you going to win the vote tomorrow? Like, what am I supposed to believe in about the Meridian? I can believe that you have good intentions, and I can believe that the Valk does not. But I also can believe that incompetence is worse than malice.
I think in this particular moment, Catherine Cross is, she is, like, clearly in, like, deep thought, and out of character. What, I don't really know the Meridian all that well.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But what are some of their, like, guiding principles?
Generally, the Meridian are, I guess you could think of it as, like, what if the UN was actually first of all, if the UN was more forceful, and, you know, they're already kind of forceful, mm-hmm. but if they were actually, a real government and not, like, a coalition, the Meridian wants to make the, like, sort of be the, they really want to be cops, y'all. they think that, their job is to maintain order. And let everyone have ideally, they will tell you that ideally they barely need to do anything, is that they can sit back and everybody can run their own business. But sadly, everybody comes into conflict, and thus the Meridian is necessary. They want to enable people to live and run their own lives, basically.
Okay, so the Prime Minister leans forward and says, "We fight for the hope that everyone can live on their own terms. We want you to be able to live and thrive as you see fit, as you see works for you, because we believe that order is possible, and we have our disagreements. I will relent to that. But I feel that disagreement is what makes us strong. Because it means that everyone is allowed to think their own thoughts. It's allowed to fight for their own needs and wants. And I want to hear your needs and wants, because I want to acknowledge that you and your system are unique, and we need that, because a coalition of unique planets and systems and stars, that is what true freedom looks like. But at the end of the day, it is your decision.
I think that we're in a situation where the Meridian is the better solution between the two major powers. Obviously, we are not in a position to go on our own at this time. However, once this war is over, we're renegotiating a lot.
And I am willing to have that conversation.
I'll hold you to that.
She slides a paper, towards the governor.
And boy, howdy, like, reads it over, like, not just like the quick, like, okay, making sure, like a really deep read to a point that's almost a little offensive, and then signs.
And Artemis lets out a deep sigh.
I'm glad that we could come to an agreement.
I am as well, at least for the time being. Oh, and Commander? Your parents hope you're doing well. They asked me to pass that along.
Noted. You can tell them whatever you like.
Yeah, I don't blame you for not coming to visit. Prime Minister, Commander,
Governor,
and Governor leaves the room.
You know, this breathing apparatus is, like, tight around my face. I don't know how you get used to it.
You never do, believe me.
And then Bravo Turbine walks in. And
like, hey! Oops, wrong room.
Oh, gosh. Whoopsie. Boy, is my face red. Anyway, anyone want a holographic drink?
Thank you for being here, Commander.
Of course. However, I do want to let you know, Prime Minister, with all due respect, when those renegotiations happen, I will be part of what Ariadne decides.
Fair enough.
All right. So, honestly, to me, that seemed like a dark scene.
Yeah, it definitely did.
Yeah.
Because I think the takeaway from that is once this war is over, the Meridian might disband.
Yeah, it's like they're really struggling to hold everything together.
Yeah. Gosh. That's big.
Yeah.
I mean, you did say something that'll ripple into the rest of the world, so.
Yeah.
Also, side discussion. Where did the name Boy Howdy come from?
I just like it. I don't know.
Okay, fair enough.
Like, I mean, I didn't take... It's not like a reference, if that's what you're saying.
All right, I mean, Ariadne is a very interesting culture, I guess.
Yeah.
I have some names in my mind that I'm like, I like these ones, let me use these in places.
All right.
And Boy Howdy is one of those. you may remember a character from the original campaign named Revolver Romance, so listen.
Revolver Romance is a pretty good name for a character.
Revy for short. Yeah, she's great. I miss her.
Immensely going over Bad Romance by Lady Gaga trying to replace lyrics.
Alright, well, it is the Anti-Entropist turn. I don't think we're going to get a full scene from the Anti-Entropists, partially just because of time concerns, but also because we don't have enough on that faction just to zoom in much. What we do get is that this is weird for me because this is a plot twist from 6 years ago that just never came to pass. The Meridian does make the exchange. They do sell the planet Trentellus to Anti-Entropists in exchange for some, like... So, the Viridian Magisters are powered by sort of Anti-Entropist tech. That's how they're so exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
And the Anti-Entropists give them the resources to basically make two of their own for the Meridian in exchange for the planet. And then the planet, they go in, they do something to the planet, and, like, over the course of weeks, like, astronomers note that the planet's orbit starts to get weird, and then the planet just, like, splits apart. It doesn't explode, it just breaks apart.
That's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Planets all don't that do that.
Yeah. Well, as I say, there has some shit going on. I'm going to write anti-entropist break planet Trentalis.
Man.
And that's dark.
Yeah.
Now, as a group, we got to figure out what the Glass Spectre's up to.
Alrighty.
So, as established before, the Glass Spectre is sort of the underground, well-funded, but still, like, single-planet military force of the planet Urea, who were formerly a group of scientists who were sort of, like, the leading, like, scientists within humanity, but their research stepped on some toes, specifically the Valk, and the Valk, over the course of centuries, pushed them back to a single planet and then boxed them in there. And the Glass Spectre's goal is clearly, you know, they want that to not happen. And also they don't like the Valk very much.
Right.
Hmm.
So, I guess, like, probably what they're going to do is bloody the Valk's nose in some way. But I'm curious what shape that takes. Or, I mean, they could piss off somebody else or whatever. You know, they've got options. I guess my question here is, from a big picture perspective, you could do a couple of things. They could do damage to the Valk, they could try and improve their own position, or they could try and take from someone else. Seems like the obvious things. Or if you all have other ideas, I'm here for them.
I feel like they are working to improve their own position.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly due to, like, based on the events of episode one, what we were trying to accomplish was, you know, get a militia going. So mm-hmm. I think they have more than one operation at any given time.
What if they, this is a bit of a reveal for, now I'm hoping that the ground game doesn't listen to this. So Jennifer's character, Lunar Miner Delter, has a system on her mecha called a blinkered cloak system. Basically the way it works is that she is able to hide her, radar signature for a brief time before sort of letting it out all at once in a big burst. And on a larger scale, the Glass Spectre has been using that to smuggle things through the blockade. What if they start settling another planet?
Hmm. Just like the eyes of everybody, just...
Yeah, just like, mm-hmm. like StarCraft, you know, secretly setting up a second base, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious what the scene for that would be, though. As far as the Glass Spectre, there's a lot of room to create characters because we only have one right now for the Glass Spectre. We have General Orion Coffrey, who is the general in charge of the Cullet, which is the player faction. So the squad that the ground game is. I could see this being a cooperation between the Glass Spectre squads, Traitor Obsidian, and Microscope. Traitor Obsidian are pretending to be just normal, like, neutral traders, like, you know, like merchants, but they're secretly, like, funding and providing tech and stuff for the Glass Spectre. And then Microscope is sort of their, like, cyber crimes division. So I could see it being a thing where, like, Traitor Obsidian is setting up things, and Microscope is doing the work to cover up so no one will find it.
So this is very, like, underground, like, CIA sort of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like, mm-hmm. basically everything Glass Spectre does has to be really sneaky, because if the Valk figures out that the Glass Spectre is the planet Urea and is them trying to get independence, then the Valk is just gonna fucking, like, you know, Knights of the Old Republic microwave the surface. It's gonna be bad.
Okay. So yeah.
Or, I mean, would they, Kyrie? I guess that's technically up to you. But they're not nice, is all I know.
Yeah, they are definitely not nice.
Okay, so... they're going to settle another planet in secret, I guess. Trying to think of a good direction to go.
What if we had... we could have... this could be kind of small scale, right? This could be like a meeting of like military... like it wouldn't be any characters that we know yet. We'd have to create like three new characters for this. But this could be like... like military colonists, right? These are like people who are like not that high ranking, but they're going to be the ones building the colony. And the colony is like, they have enough that they're like, they're landed on the planet, they have a core facility, they have, you know, like air and stuff, and they're sort of gathering and they're figuring out the next steps.
I'm guessing, like, I feel like these three people are like, for some reason, I'm just imagining, like, Sele from Evangelion. Just a group of tall pillars. Which, that's a lot more ominous than what the Glass Spectre seem to be going for.
Well, I mean, the pillars would be made of glass. It'd be, like, projected into the glass. But, like, if you want it to be, like, a remote teleconference...
that's what I was thinking, was, like, some sort of remote teleconference where... projected onto these sheets of glass are two commanders, while one is like conferencing with them, and
okay
like they are discussing what the next step is.
And I think like kind of Sele style, like it's not like images of these people, right? It's some sort of representation that is abstract enough that if someone were to like snap a picture, it wouldn't mean anything.
Exactly.
All right, well, who wants to be who and what and who to what? Yoda to man. That's just always in my head. Drop of a hat.
I mean, I would imagine, like, you know, this meeting of heads have to do with like significant people.
Caster Atlas.
Ooh, I like
That's good.
What is the name of this planet?
Is it like an uninhabited planet, or?
It was.
The word Haven comes out to me.
Okay, but we got to do more than just Haven, so I think that's a good foundation. How about Shaven?
Shaven Haven, where it's just a bald sphere.
Oh, weird. There are no trees that grow here. It's just hair.
This is this fuzzy thing next to a star.
Oh, don't go to the South Pole. It's pubic hair down there. Oh, God. What if there's a binary star system, and this planet is sort of locked in between the two stars?
Oh.
Central Haven?
Central Haven. I like that.
There we go.
Okay. So I think we open... We have our two pillars. There are more than two of these displays, but only two are on at the moment. And it's not like... it's not the, like... it's not exactly like Sele, because it's not a circle. You're not trying to, like... because there's... Sele, there's very much an attempt to intimidate the person, right? And that's not really the goal here. It's just sort of like communications that are secure but mysterious. So I think Caster gets to just be at a desk.
Yeah, I think Caster Atlas is like he is basically receiving this call on, so he's on Central Haven.
Mm-hmm.
And he's essentially set up a little like foreman's like trailer. you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Except this is like a, this is like a small base, and he is currently in the command room, and he is like, I'm imagining Caster Atlas is like sweaty, covered in grease, like very hands-on type of guy. And
there's like a semicircle around him of like glass panels, but they're not gigantic. They're just like, they're, you know, like 4 or 5 feet tall.
Yeah.
And on one of them is like, just like a very like, almost like vector graphics, like 3-frame animation of a campfire. And the flames sort of flicker when the speaker talks. How are things proceeding on the surface, Caster?
Well, turns out that this place wasn't entirely uninhabited. There are these small fuzzy creatures around here. They're not getting in the way or nothing. They're just kind of here.
Sentient?
Well, we tried communicating with them, but they mostly just wiggle.
Hmm.
We did take care not necessarily to get in the way of the local ecosystem, but, you know, anybody who does show up here needs to be prepared for occasional these little gremlin things.
We'll send a researcher down to analyze the effect that exterminating them would have on the ecosystem. The fewer factors, the better, as long as it's safe.
Much obliged. We don't exactly have any scientists down here right now. It's just us, me and the boys.
Yes, well, we do appreciate your efforts. I know it's not what you were trained for. This must be the first time you're seeing sky, isn't it? After living underground for so long.
Yeah. Shame that there isn't a night sky.
Wow. Just duck underground, you'll see plenty of darkness.
How are things going up there for you?
Well, been managing to keep the trail pretty cold, honestly. The Meridian and Valk have been so busy at each other's throats that they haven't been particularly suspicious. At least as far as paper trail. Spire, how have things been on our digital front? I'm sorry, you know I'm no good with computers.
No problem at all. Actually, things have been going better than I expected. In fact, I think this little skirmish that they're involved in, it's working out to our benefit. They're so focused on that, they're not researching the information we're feeding out too deeply, so it seems like things are running better than expected.
I can't believe that you're disguising interstellar communications as scanning for alien signals. I know I don't know technology, but that seems like a load of shit to me. I'm surprised they're buying it.
I'm surprised too, but I'm not going to question any benefits we get out of this, so I'll just take our blessings.
You know, don't lick a gift horse in the mouth, you know?
Oh, of course not. We're
I've never seen a
things.
Horse.
What is a horse?
You know what?
That's just a thing people say.
That's just a thing that my great-great-great-great-grandpappy used to say.
Well, maybe we can raise some horses on this new planet at some point. I mean, you know,
Get out of here. Sorry, the little fuzzy thing showed up.
Do you think the horses will graze on that?
I thought they ate rocks. Do horses eat rocks?
They have 6 legs, right?
Yeah, so they'd have to eat rocks to have their legs be strong.
To have legs that strong, you definitely have to eat rocks.
But it depends on the gravity. Sorry, I'm getting sidetracked. Yeah, I mean, Caster, I know you're new to the Spectre. You know how you always had to
bomb-proof things back on Araya.
Mm-hmm.
Any buildings?
Absolutely.
There are going to be additional complications for these buildings. They're not just going to need to be bomb-proof. They're going to need to be able to survive a bomb from the inside, if you understand what I mean. Hopefully this will become a civilian colony in time, but it is going to be arms manufacturer first.
Right. Well, Caster pulls up like a digital schematic and says like, well, we've been thinking some of this type of design ought to work for that. And it'll add like a couple weeks to our production, but I think we'll be able to manage.
Those pillars? Cross braces? I'm not an architect. I don't.
Well, you see here, this is just your structural support that would be able to resist from any angle.
Hmm. Wow. Well, that does seem like exactly what we need. I don't know. I mean, you know, work aside, like, is everything going okay down there? It's a weird change for you.
Listen, considering all the things that we've had to deal with on Araya, I will deal with the fuzzy things.
Okay. Spire, what do we do next?
Well, my team and I have our hands pretty full. So unfortunately, all of our efforts are here to make sure the Valk and the Meridian and just about anybody doesn't know we're here. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to leave the physical stuff to everybody else.
Can we help? I mean, we're pretty clean right now. If you need us to serve as some sort of distraction, so if there's anything we can do, do you need juice boxes? We're good at delivering juice boxes.
Yes, my team has been in desperate need of apple juice, but that's pretty low priority at the moment. But in the meantime, everything seems to be going well. They have no idea what's going on, and hopefully it'll stay that way. But we'll be sure to let everybody know as soon as we need any additional assistance.
Okay. Caster, we should be having some solar panels arriving planet-side within the next 6 hours. As you can imagine, they will be very efficient on that planet.
Absolutely.
So there shouldn't be any power woes. We're having to have ships go on some pretty elaborate detours to keep anyone from figuring out what they're up to, but if you need supplies, you give us a heads up. 2 days at the most, we can get them to you.
All right, we'll do fire.
I just can't wait to leave this stupid cave. I love our home, I do, but I also want to see it not just from underground. We're all our thoughts are with you, Caster. You're our hope right now.
Much obliged. Caster Atlas out.
Out. And the display, like the flames sort of die down, and then it's just the logs, and then the display winks off.
And Caster, you see Caster, like, step outside after, you know, just, like, seeing the fuzzy things. But you see, like, this scene of people just building. And he has a bit of a smirk on his face, because for once he's feeling hope.
I'm imagining the scene from Star Wars A New Hope of Luke and seeing the sunset.
And then a fuzzy thing jumps on his leg and goes, God damn it!
Ah, my leg! It took my leg! Ah, suddenly the scene turns dark.
Dark.
No, this was a light scene.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's all four of our major factions. Just a quick overview. The Valk had that that small resource planet that they took over. They used excessive force, but overall the Valk is feeling united and feeling some momentum, so they're feeling positive. The Meridian
in the wake of recent events is struggling to sort of keep their republics together. And there is sort of a suggestion that once this war ends, the Meridian will not last. So they're in a bit of a rough state. The anti-entropists did some dark shit and broke a planet. And the Glass Spectre did some light shit and started to build up a planet.
Yeah.
I'd say that's pretty balanced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that worked out pretty well.
I think so, too.
All right. Well, with all that said, folks, we'll come back to you next time. I don't know when that'll be, but we'll be back at some point. But, Lee, you're our most special guest. And also, you're doing the noble thing of handing the Meridian off to some other asshole who's going to do random shit to fuck it up. So why don't you go first as far as anything you want to promote or plug?
Nothing at the moment. You can find me at Twitter, at UnstableArc. I post every now and then. I may have a few things in the works in the background, but if I'm ready to make an announcement, Twitter will be the place to be.
All right. As far as Kyrie and I, yeah. this is a patron podcast, and Kyrie is Scanline Media. You're not on every Scanline thing, so go ahead and promote your Twitter. Let the folks know.
Kyrie A page on twitter.com. That's where you'll find me, and I've been making some moves in the background as well. And if I announce anything, it'll be there.
Been secretly settling a planet.
Secretly settling a planet. The fuzzy things.
Why'd you
are
spoil it?
Yeah, got some Furbies. And,
so that's where they all went.
Yeah, it's planetfurby.com. .net. Yeah, and then you know, it's a patron podcast, as I said. Thank you so much for your support. Hope you enjoy this little bonus thing. We're gonna do faction games every now and then. It seemed like a fun way to flesh out the world and give y'all more to do, especially because I don't know about y'all, but I'm gonna be home for a month, so I might as well do something productive.
Lockdown, baby.
Partial lockdown for me, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
Same.
But until next time, peace out.
Peace out.
Bye-bye.